And when she said it, it was like, wicked soul. No, 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 no. You guys don't understand what happened. Let me tell you, the man was not trying not to pay back. No. There was a time that property market was booming in Dubai. So what he did, I just said, no, it's not as if the man stole the money. No, you see, all these things that they are publishing on the newspapers now, a lot of people are getting carried away. Most of those monies you earned from it. You say, what do I mean? Listen, the time you bought stock for 10,000 naira and it went up to 50,000 naira in a few months, that's part of the money. No. let me sit on my issue. There was a time property market in UAE. It was a big thing. You see one advert on CNN. Forgotten the name. There was one actor that was talking about it. Breathtaking beauty. Too good to be true. But it is true. People were flocking. Nigerians were buying houses in Dubai. Because they were so sure the price would go up. Listen to me. He lost 50% of his value. Why? Cursed be the earth because of you. So any man who plotted for eternal success based on those things was doomed ab initio. He just didn't know it. That was why God looked at that our church in Laodicea. You said, I have bought land. I am rich. He said, but you don't understand. Ah! You're poor. You're wretched. You're blind. You're naked. Why? Because you have set your hope on natural things. The result in the life of the believer is not built upon his natural wisdom or the way earthly things work. I'm currently reading the story by Alan Greenspan, the former Federal Reserve Chairman of America, what we call CBN Governor in Nigeria. And as I'm reading, and all this is when I read them, it's spiritual lessons I learned. The man would describe how the economy became confounding, that is, around the, I think, the late 80s into the early 90s. The laws of economics in America stopped working. That you make policy like this, expecting things to go one way. One way it will not go is that way you predicted. And I was reading, I said, you see, this is what we are saying. You will learn, you will write a new, because when the, when technology came in the field for this information technology age, when it came in, it rewrote the laws of economics. Now, you can move $1 billion in an instant. Click, type in password, write some this thing, click, confirm, click, and $1 billion has left America, is now in Switzerland. It wasn't possible before. Before, you had to initially carry your money on ships as gold, and you will sail for months to move $100,000 from America to Europe. It was war. Then after a while, you could now write it on paper, and then they still had to carry the mail. Then you could do telegraphic this and that. But after a while, internet, you say, why go through all that hassle? Bill Gates now wrote a book called Business at the Speed of Thought. That the speed of light is too slow now. And let me say it to you again. Every one of them will end in failure. Every single one. Every single one. Every single one. No matter how smart you are in learning the new one, it's a matter of time. Your children will lose all the money you gathered. That's what the Bible said. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, who makes the Lord his strength. I hope you're getting what I'm going to explain. I said Jesus came to do something. Let me not forget to say that. Let me emphasize it very well. He came to equate everybody. I need to explain that one very well. I told you that one of the major problems that the evangelization of the Arab and Islamic nations have is American preachers. Because they don't understand this gospel we are preaching. That God doesn't see who's Jew, who's Gentile. You want to hear the truth? In Palestine, God judges with equity. I don't know whether you understand what I'm saying. If I say this, you shock some people. If you say that this was the land God gave my ancestors, God doesn't understand it. Did you pay for it? That's what he wants to know. No. How did he get it? I drove away the man that was there. Why? because he's a descendant of Canaan, and I'm a descendant of Abraham. God said, you are very stupid. That story stopped working 2,000 years ago. Now, if you want land, pay. If you want Americans to support you, go and ask them for the support. But pay. If you drive the man out by force and he cries, don't forget you are an unbeliever. He's an unbeliever. The two of you are equal. If he cries, I will kill you for unjust taking of land. I'm just going to emphasize something. So I wanted to just round up that thing I said so I can leave that and go on to the other thing I was saying. Let's get it clear. What Jesus came to do, I say, so radically different from what used to be. Right now, anybody can be American president. Hear what I'm saying. Any color of people can build any great nation on the earth. Hear what I'm saying. Hear it very well. From any part of the world, great businesses can be built. Hear what I'm saying. Great laws can be written for the whole world to operate by from any part of the world. Black, yellow, purple, green, white, makes no difference. The same God is rich unto all that call upon him. It makes no difference anymore ever since Jesus died on the cross and rose again from the dead. The reason why slavery ended is not because we learned how to struggle. It was because Jesus died. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The reason why Martin Luther King can say, I have a dream that one day or that one, because Jesus Christ died. If Jesus didn't die, your dream will die with you and your descendants after you. All of you are going to hell. No. Hear what I'm saying? No. Can dream any dream you like. Dreaming is a gift of God to human beings who are sleeping. So anybody can dream anything. I hope you understand what I'm saying. The only reason why you can have a dream, let me tell you the truth, Martin Luther, how that dream is dreaming, was because of revelation. People before him, God opened their eyes and they saw that equality is a gift of God. Interestingly, it wasn't them that first heard it. The American founding fathers were the first to know it. We hold it as a matter of truth that all men were born, were created equal. That's the word, created. All those things. Listen, you can't tell a Roman to write that. Roman will tell you, me and the barbarian created equal. What's wrong with you? The Jew, listen to me, could not have written that. We hold as a matter of fact that we are the people of the covenant and they are Gentiles. That's the only thing the Jew could have written. So I have a dream that one day, listen, my friend, is because Jesus Christ died. Are you getting the point I'm making? I hope you are getting the point I'm making. And then, this is what I want you to understand. Because he died also, listen, natural laws don't control your life anymore. Listen, it's a prophetic revelation that David gave us that economies will fail, but those that seek the Lord will never lack anything good. Listen, the degree to which the failure of economies affect you is the degree to which your hope was set upon them. Are you hearing what I'm saying? If the world goes down and you drag them down with you was because, or drag you down with them, it was because you were tied together. As I'm going on the road like this, anybody falling beside me doesn't affect me. Why? There's nothing tying us. But if I tied myself with a rope to somebody else as he's falling, me too, I get dragged down. Please, I hope you are following what I'm saying. I hope you are getting what I'm saying. The law of the spirit of life. You know, I said that's the third level of laws. If actually, the third level... Okay, let me just leave it there. Because I don't want to complicate my explanation. Let me just say it as it applies to you. Just like Moses said the curse of Noah as he applied to the children of Israel. Alright? Let me just leave it like that. There is a level of law. Because I could say some things about that level, that third level of law. There are many kind of laws that operate there. But the main one, alright, is for your life, is the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. That made you free from the law of sin and of death. That made you live above the natural laws. In fact, let me explain this. Yes, I wanted to say this before I leave this matter and sit on my main issue of promise. We'll read the second portion of the scriptures, all right? One of the problems we have had in recent times is the fact that we judge success by outward manifestations. So, Dangote is one of the most successful Nigerians as far as the average modern day Pentecostal Christian in Nigeria is concerned. All right? When we want to talk about the successful men in Nigeria, we look at this is our guy of Glow, Conoil and the Bank, Adenuga. We say Adenuga is a successful man. And we get up and say, now listen to me, to our foolishness. When we want to learn about business, we go to such men. Are you hearing what I'm saying? What do you know? When men like that are talking, you shouldn't talk. Listen to me, if you're a preacher, if you're saying it before now, you are forgiven. After now, don't say it again. What I care about is results. The church doesn't have results, it's talking. That's stupidity. Prophets don't have results. Prophets are commanded to prophesy as they are revealed to. Prophets don't deal with results. Around nonsense. Prophets say the things that have not yet happened. That's how prophets are. He said, I and the children that the Lord has given me, we are for what? Signs and wonders. We make the Adenugas look stupid. And that will explain all of these things. Because, you see, that's the confounding issue in our lives. We don't understand. Sometimes we get, because we say, oh, look, hey, you know, today you hear one thing. Tomorrow you hear another thing. How do you reconcile it to? This is the issue. There are natural laws. I'm coming to something, all right? Because I said something earlier. That anybody operating under natural laws, all right, is subject to death. It doesn't mean he will never get results. And let me prove it to you. God said to Adam, you will die of hunger. Was that what he said? No, answer me. Was that what he said? What did he say? From the sweat of your brow, you will eat bread because the earth is cursed. What am I saying? There are men who have sweated. And they have produced results. Let me tell you something about the human being that God made originally. He had the power to control all the animals on this earth. Listen, there's nothing a natural person puts his mind to that is actually not possible for him. Unless the breath of God blows against him. And the breath of God will blow because he had placed a curse upon the earth. God looked at them. And said, these people, there is nothing that they want to do they will not achieve, seeing that they are united. So God had to bring in a natural law to work against them. How? He said, let us stir up disunity amongst them. Let us confuse their tongues so that they won't understand one another anymore. That was the only way God could make the building of the tower impossible. What am I trying to say? Natural men get results. So what? So Christians shouldn't talk because they don't have the result. I say, we talk. I'm a prophet. That's how prophets are. Prophets talk anyhow. They talk about things they have never seen before. So, what's his name? Enoch will prophesy about a flood coming, yet he had never seen rain. The operation of natural laws, it gets results too. That's what I want to say. And let me say before I leave, because that's where the problem is oftentimes. And one of the reasons why it confuses us is that we don't realize exactly what God is trying to do. I told you before, God is not in the business of competing in who's the richest man in the world. He doesn't read the stock market report. It doesn't concern him. You see the way human beings get confused? Today is Slim. Tomorrow is Warren Buffett. The following day it is Bill Gates. And you keep on going up and down. That's not God. God is not confused. He knows who is richest. The person who doesn't know it is you and me. He knows how he counts his wealth. He knows it. He doesn't depend on Forbes to tell him who's the richest person. But we depend on Forbes to tell us when we have become rich. It's called being carnally minded. That's where, as a preacher, let me give you another one. Don't let anybody tell you that this is a pastor of the largest church in the world. And make you look like a successful man. That's worldly standard. Counting number. How many people are in the church? they are 150,000 now. They are now 200,000. They are now 1 million. So everybody will run to South Korea to go and learn church growth. And say all we care about is results. These days, I'm very, very careful. I'm very careful when I'm copying people. Me too, I read church growth manual. Thank God I'm not trying to pastor and grow a big church, so that's not even my issue. I read church growth manual. Why did Young Icho grow the church, largest church in the world? Should I tell you the truth? Should I tell you the truth? It was the time. It was the time. If you know history well, he didn't pray those people into his church. The generation of Christians before him prayed those people out of poverty, prayed them out of the darkness, prayed them out of satanic worship. And when it was time to have it, look for a shepherd over them, God looked for the man who he knew could do the job. And he found this man qualified. And the rest of the world idolized him. And said, bro, you're the pastor of the biggest church in the world. Teach us how to grow big churches. That was how they learnt it. Nobody, the whole of America, none of them grew a church up to 100,000. None. With all their money and their media. Koreans didn't have that money. They didn't have the media. Young Icho started his church sleeping inside the tent. Poverty wanted to kill him. Tell me that. Don't tell me that nonsense. The way by which the man grew the biggest church, I'll tell you, is because of time. Listen, the reason why God rewards people, you don't know. You don't know it. You don't know the reason. I've told you what is rewarded outwardly is done in secret. And the farmer, he himself, the Bible says, does not know how. How will he tell you? Look at the problem now. Number one, it was done in secret. Number two, he himself does not know how. That is why, till tomorrow, God gives pastors after his heart to feed you with knowledge and understanding. Following people with results will lead you into darkness, into bondage, into a pit. Because they themselves don't know the reason. Go and read Richard Branson. You will die before your time. Go and try all that rubbish Richard Branson did to build the Virgin this thing. Try it. You will die so much. When you get to hell, they say, let's send him back to earth. Kill him again. I'm telling you. You think he's braggado? I read a man's book. I said, listen, I don't know why God blessed this man like this, but there's nothing sensible he ever did. Nothing. The man was a gambler from the beginning. Taking stupid chances. People say, be daring. Many men have been daring, and they are dead. Okay. I'm not saying don't be daring. Are you getting my point? I'm just saying being daring is not what got him there. All those hot balloon flies he did. People did it before him and they died. The day before he set off from Japan on his the cross Pacific one, a man heard they were about to start. He had been planning, so he quickly rushed and started. Richard Branson watched his body being pulled out of the ocean. Be careful when you are following people with results. Because you don't know what got them the result. What gets you results as a Christian? Let me tell you again. Let me summarize before we get into discussing details. It's trusting in the Lord. You can be bold. You've not heard that the Englishman said the boldest people are fools. You don't know? He said fools rushing where angels fear to tread. Is that not boldness? Let me remove some of the rubbish you have drank and called Christianity from your heart. I'm not going to bring us on principle here. What gets results in the life of Christian? Now, let me finish this. So, is it on the natural plane, therefore? Men struggle. They sweat. And they get results. And the Christian gets confused and starts following the people of the world saying that they have results. The Bible said that is not God's plan. The plan of God is that the people of the world should follow you and say, let us go to the house of the Lord, to the God of Jacob. Let him teach us his ways that we may walk in his paths. But do you know what we now preach? Let us first go to the house of the Muslim and ask him, how come United Arab Emirates has so much money? Let us ask him, how come all the sheikhs are billionaires? Because they have results. we now think our gospel is a competition on petrodollar. Jesus said concerning John the Baptist, of all men born of women, none, no sheikh, no business mogul, none was as great as John the Baptist. So let's forget that one. Let's debunk our brain. God didn't send you to the world to come and become rich. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Let me say it to you again. Because all this nonsense that you practice, this they will call Christianity. Let's stop it. The aim of the gospel is not to make you rich. The way the world counts riches. It's not a sign of success at all that you have many cars and you now have money. You can worship Satan and to that level. You know that. If Jesus had bowed to Satan, he would have been the richest man in the world. That's what Satan told him. That was the deal. Bow to me, you become the richest man in the world. That was the deal. So the world gets results. Let's get that one clear. But whether you get results or not, all flesh is what? Grass. Cursed is the man who puts his trust in flesh. I've told you, most people don't read history well. There's one thing that has been quoted several times by many people about the biggest financiers in the world who gathered at the time to decide major economic and financial matters in the world. Then they began to analyze the lives of all of them. Almost all of them died miserably. One was broke, one ran away from the law, one was in jail, one committed suicide, and these were the men that, amongst them then, they controlled more money than maybe at the America of today, you know, in real times. By the end of the day, what happened to them? Look, so let's be careful. Is that okay? So what I'm trying to say is that the world also gets their results. Again, why? Because God said to Adam, If you sweat, you will operate physical laws and the common spiritual laws, and you will get enough results to show. From the sweat of your brow, he said to him, you will eat bread. It works. On top of that, there are times God just shows people mercy for different reasons. There are those who don't deserve jack. God said, for this cause I raised you up. Why did Pharaoh become great? Because he was intellectually superior. No, God said, I needed somebody to show my power in. Make that man great. The guy was a crook. Listen to me. The Pharaoh that imprisoned the people of Israel. The Pharaoh that God delivered Moses. Used Moses to deliver them out of their hands. The guy was a career troublemaker. He was a murderer. And God said, for this cause, I have raised you up. I brought you to the position of being a ruler. Because I want you to imprison my people. Only wicked souls like you can do the kind of things that needs to be done. There are many reasons God raises people. Cyrus was not raised because he was smart. He was raised because God looked at him and said, this one, he will allow the oppressed people to go free. Therefore, he became a king. You know the word, you always have to write your story after how I became a king. Then we had this discussion, then we had this deal, you tell all the stories and the angels are laughing. See, look at him confusing the whole world. And they will say, God, should we stop him? Because why should you stop him? They want to be confused. Leave them. People telling you lying stories of how they made it. Meanwhile, the reason why God raised that fellow up is that this man, I want to raise him up as an example for the whole world to see on what should not be done. I don't know whether you're getting what I'm saying. No, there are people like that too. I told you that as an example. God raised fella up so that he can die of AIDS. That was the reason. All that one was so that the man could die from AIDS. Make sure his brother was a doctor. Make sure the brother was a very respectable man. Make sure that all his escapades as a man was known. Soldier beat him, he not die. Police beat him, he not die. If you know, listen. If normal police slap you, you're in trouble. If Mopo slap you, you're in trouble. But Mopo slap, it won't be like soldier slap. When soldier now finishes with you, you see the kind of wahala you're in. Now among soldiers, there's what they call soldier, police or soldier, military police. Those are the weakest souls. All these people I've described, they finish with fella, nothing happened. God said, how can you kill him? You can't. Why? I have raised him up. So that all the young boys who say there is no AIDS, who wants to live like fella, they won't say I did not want them. The world was popularizing smoking, smoking, smoking. God said, what do I do? He said, wait, raise up a smoker. The angel said, no trouble. Oh, pirates, yes, they robber. All right, fine. Voila. God said, that song, I don't like that one. Give me another one. Say, got to have kaya. I like that one. I like that one. Good. Sing it for the whole world to see. So the whole world was singing kaya. Fine, smoke, everybody. Then finally, the guy did kaya, collapse. He died. He said, what happened? He said, cancer of the lungs. He said, listen, no, the rest of you that wants to have kaya, I hope I have warned you now. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So what I'm saying is that you don't know why God raised people up. He's just be following people anyhow. You'll be reading their stories and following them up and down. You don't know the reason. Listen to me. Let me tell you it again. Only in the Lord are righteousness and strength. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and does not make the arm of flesh his strength. Don't ever forget that. You follow a man that God wants to kill so as to show the whole world what kind of life, how that life, but all you can see is money. Money is very interesting. I don't want to start telling you a story about money. I will have told you a story about MC Hammer. End up I see MC Hammer preaching. I always laugh. Say, bro, thank you very much. Tell all these young boys, money doesn't last though. That Mike Tyson that earned over $300 million in his boxing career is begging for money as of today. He's owing everybody. I say, Jesus Christ. In fact, I don't want money again. This money is a very useless thing. Go away. Anyway, you know what I mean? That kind of money. What I want is what? Blessing. There's a difference between money and blessing. If God gives you money, blessing, then money can follow it. And if the money goes, he's on his own. You are still blessed. One money goes, another one comes. Anything you need shows up each time that you need it. That's what we want, blessing, not money. The world is not going to teach me how to live my life. Because I learned what they call success. I learned what they call success. They want to teach me. No. There's a will of God. That's what I'm going to follow. My time is gone. But I finally settled into what I really want to preach. But not today now, because the time is gone. How do Christians get results? Let's read that scripture. We read it last time. Let me just read it now, and then I close with it. 2 Peter. So that when I come next, I just kick off from here. A different look, people you are following, there are different reasons why they are there. Let me tell you again. Anyway, let me not even go to that. You know it already. The summary is that trust in the Lord. Anything that does not involve trust in the Lord, I can tell you that is how Christians get results. You get results in your life. Say, I don't want it. Anyway, let's read the scripture. I close with it. 2 Peter, chapter 1. Peter, Simon Peter, a bond servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have received a faith of the same kind as ours, by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, this is where the message begins from verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Grace is the power of God working on your behalf. And peace is the resultant prosperity that comes into it. Not only financial, but prosperity in every area. In your business, in your marriage, in your academics, in your career, in your finances, of course, in your spiritual walk. He said, now, how does this happen? He says, seeing that his divine power, that is grace, that divine power of God is grace, has granted to us everything pertaining to life and promises, through the knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. For by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises. Please notice that word, precious. And notice the next one, magnificent. That is the promises. That's what you need. That's all. That's all the things that you need in life, the promises of God. He said, it is by these promises that you become partakers of the divine nature. When he used the word partakers, it means to share in manifestation. That you begin to demonstrate the life of God working inside you. the third law that we talked about, the law of the spirit of life. He said it is demonstrated through what? The promises that he gives. I don't have time. Let me stop. We'll start reading from here next time. All right? But let me say this, and I close with it. The root of results in the life of a believer is promise. What did I say? Say it loud. The root is what? The promise of God. That is flesh. You know what flesh is now? Flesh doesn't mean bad things. It just means anything that's natural. Flesh can tell you anything. They can tell you can't do it. They can tell you can't do it. They can tell you anything. But this is the issue. Once there is a promise, eventually, all the predictions of the flesh will fail. Listen, when God wanted to raise up Isaac, he knew why he chose a woman that could not bear. Are you getting what I'm saying? I told you God raises people for different reasons. Are you getting my point? God raises people for different reasons. When he saw Abraham, he was happy that naturally, between him and his wife, they could not conceive. It was good. It was a good demonstration. So that we will see that when the natural laws say something, a promise can overturn it. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is, no matter what the natural things say, even, look, God caused the earth. You see, I said the way God operates, you must understand. He operates in different sectors. At the same time, you may think that there are five people there, and the same person. Let me explain what I mean. There's a God that stays in the house, and Balaam comes and says, should I go? And God says, no, don't go. Then that God goes away, and the next God appears. Balaam says, should I go? God says, no, why not? Go ahead. That one's another one. Then on the way, there's a God that waits for Balaam. Say, what are you doing here? Did I not tell you not to go anywhere? And there's a God that now shows up, despite all your disobedience and stupidity, and prophesies through your mouth. And last of all, you get back home, he orders that you be executed. If it's a natural person, say, but you were the one that said I should go. Are you getting what I'm saying? That's how God is. It is not as if he doesn't know himself. There are just different aspects to him. If you harass him enough, there's a part of him that lets you have whatever you want. Are you getting the point I'm making? Look, listen, that's how God operates. What I'm trying to say is, even though God spoke and confirmed the words of Noah, all right, then another part of God shows up and brings forth a sacrifice. There is a God of creation, the same God, that set all the natural laws in motion, who allowed his power to be used by Noah to set things in a particular direction. Then God shows up again in another form and brings forth a redemption that overturns every other thing. So that you wonder whether he's fighting himself. No, he said, I wrote that law under certain circumstances. Now I have to overturn it using superior methods. Are you getting my point? Are you getting what I'm going to explain? No, remember Esther's husband, Artaxerxes, that's his name. He wrote a law, exterminate the Jews. With the same hand, he wrote another law, Jews, defend yourselves. And then gave them resources to defend themselves. And bless those who will help them defend themselves. What am I saying? Natural laws can exist. God wrote them, we know. But God has come in the person of Jesus Christ. He has released promises. So if all the natural laws and all the natural evidences say one thing, but the promise of God says another thing, the rest just failed. Are you getting my point? This is where we start from as Christians. The matter of what? Promise. We discover the promise of God. And like I said last time, I am not saying that Nigeria is as prosperous as America. What I'm saying is that it does not matter. What I'm saying is that if you and I relocate to Somalia today, war will cease in Somalia. I don't know whether I get my point. That if you and I get up and say, and the Lord say, Panky, I think there's enough fighting in Somalia. He said, Lord, what shall we do? He said, open a branch of ministry over there. That is, God won't say, you will call the central government to negotiate with the rebels. You're not saying, no, just go to this particular area, all right? Open a small ministry office. I want to teach Bible. I want you to teach seminars there every month end, a weekend. Nothing else. I just go there, find two people who are crazy enough to follow me, and we'll start teaching them the same things we taught in Nigeria. I don't know whether you're getting what I'm explaining. And then one Somali will join. Another Somali will join. And one UN aid worker will join. And one, what do you call it, a Red Cross person will join. Before you know what's happening, we're just teaching in one small village. But that begins to release a force into the air. Suddenly one main rebel leader catches a stray bullet and he's dead. And another one runs away. The UN captures one third fellow. One election is held. Before you know what's happening, over the period of the next 18 months, wars cease. And he says, I am the God that makes wars cease. That I needed an excuse to cause the war here to cease. So I brought the salt of the earth and sprinkled a bit of it upon the nation called Somalia. Are you getting my point? Listen, promises always overcome natural laws. That's what I'm telling you. That's what we preach when we say that anybody can succeed anywhere. We're not saying that countries in Nigeria is good, there's oil in the country. No, that's the mistake. If you think like that, that's called carnal mindedness. At the end of the day, you enter into the same trouble. What we are saying is that in us, we are blessed. What we are saying is that there is a promise over our lives that's moving us about. And that promise is what we use to operate. According to that promise, we manifest divine life. What's divine life? God looks and says, can these bones live? And the prophet looks. He couldn't tell God no. So he said, Lord, I know how to answer you. Can these bones live if you say so? And God said, very fine answer. Now, you know what you will do? You will prophesy. Listen, once there is a promise, and the person of faith takes those promises, and it enters his mouth as a prophet of God. Are you getting my point? He begins to prophesy. He starts overturning all the natural laws of life. That's what your life is supposed to be as a believer. I'm not gathering to teach you the normal principles. You can learn that anywhere. Go to school, they teach you those things. A lot of times they don't teach you in school because they don't know it. That's this common one. There are common laws. A Buddhist can teach you common laws. Even Confucius used to say, the fastest way to go forward in life is to help somebody else go forward. I'm telling you. It's not new. These are common laws. But what am I teaching? That when there's a promise over your life, no matter how wrong you have been, no matter how cursed Noah, you know, no matter how much the curse of Noah was your own personal portion, yet dead bones, they can live again. I hope you have learned something today.